Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, first this morning, we want to start by going to that developing story in Baltimore, which you may have heard in the bulletin, where a major bridge collapsed after being struck by a ship. There are reports of several people in the water as a result of that collision. A couple of moments ago, we spoke to Ken Duffy, who's a reporter and anchor at WBAL Radio in Baltimore. He's at the scene. And then you'll hear from Alan O'Connor, who's Professor of Structural Engineering and Head of the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin. So I began by asking Ken what the latest is from the scene and what officials have been telling him about what happened.
Yeah, well, here's what we know right now. We're awaiting an official press conference from officials here on the ground. We're told it's going to happen at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the United States. So here's what we found out ourselves here locally. We have some contacts here from, you know, first responders and such. The local fire department for Baltimore City told us several hours ago that the span did collapse. They confirmed that with us. We have seen many, many videos out there as well that also show that. But we got official confirmation that it did go down, that a container ship hit one of the support beams that triggered this domino effect that caused the entire span to just collapse into the Patapsco River here in the Baltimore area. We are told at the time that at least seven people were in the water, that rescue operations were underway to find them. We don't know how many vehicles were on the span at the time, but that's all we know right now until we get more official word about what they're dealing with, because this happened in the middle of the night here in the United States. The Baltimore City is about an hour away from Washington, D.C. It's this regional area, a bridge that is used by millions of people on a daily basis. But right now, the top priority is finding those people who are trapped in the water right now.
So those seven people, is it your understanding that they are crew of that ship?
Oh, we don't know that. All we know is that those are the people they're looking for. We don't know if there were people in vehicles on the bridge itself or were on the container ship. We just don't know those details right now. We do know he did tell us that there was a tractor trailer on the span, and we do know that there was some construction work going on as well at the time on a highway here called 695. It's also called the Baltimore Beltway because it circles the entire city here, and this span is part of that highway system. So very few details. We do know this, though, that, you know, this happened in the middle of the night. We're in a town called Dundalk, not to get it confused with the one in your country. It's actually where my father's from, believe it or not.
Ah, Dundalk.
Yes, County Lyle. But we are in a town called Dundalk in Maryland in the United States, and people who live nearby said they heard the bridge collapse. It woke them up in their sleep. That's how loud it was. You know, this is a 1,200-foot-long span, I think the third longest truss in the world. That went down. It's been here for many decades, so it's a huge tragedy here. We're going to find out more details as they become available.
Yeah, the footage was just extraordinary. We've been speaking to some shipping experts who say they've never seen anything like this before, Ken, but we've also been told that is a really important port sitting in behind that bridge. How disruptive is this going to be?
Yes, I mean, Baltimore is a major port city here on the East Coast of the United States. There are container ships like that one that are coming in and out of here on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis. There's the Port of Baltimore. And so this container ship, we were told, was heading outbound. It wasn't coming into the port, so it was actually leaving. And so, but we just don't know what was going on with the crew at the time, because we need to know those details. What was happening on board? Why did they not see this support comm? Yes, it was during the overnight hours, but this should not happen. So we need to find out those details. And again, the top priority is finding out how many people were on there and if they were saved. We don't even know that right now. We know there were people who went down. And imagine the debris field that's in that river. This is a huge bridge we're talking about. And trying to get through all of that on top of finding the vehicle there. Just a daunting task for first responders.
Yeah, a huge shock as well for the whole area. As you say, you know, the sound of it, the people watching the video now seeing what happened, and then just looking at that space where that hugely iconic bridge was.
Yes, as we said, I mean, it's a huge part of this local region, the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. region. I mean, these two cities are very close together, so we have media from, you know, both cities and here nationally. It's a huge, obviously, international story as well, because it is so dramatic, that footage, and seeing a span like that go down, it just does not happen every day. But it's a huge national tragedy that is unfolding here. And again, we know it's a bad scene. We are not close enough to see how bad the aftermath is. It is still dark out. We're waiting for daylight, basically, as well, to kind of get a better sense of what else is out there. But it's a fluid situation, and we're trying to find out more as far as how bad this was in terms of possible loss of life.
Well, Ken, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. And good to talk to somebody with such strong links to Dundalk here, the Dundalk in County Louth.
Yes.
As you say, your father is from there. So thank you very much for taking our call. Ken Duffy, a reporter and anchor at WBAL Radio, who's at the scene of that dramatic bridge collapse. Alan O'Connor joins me now, Professor of Structural Engineering and Head of the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Claire.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, this is a completely unique event, this kind of collapse. I mean, the closest parallel would be the collapse of the World Trade Center in terms of the scale of the collapse. And I mean, obviously, our thoughts are with all those who are involved in the incident. And it's something which we as structural engineers do our utmost to avoid in this infrastructure which we provide.
I think people will be surprised to watch that video and see that the entire bridge collapsed in the way that it did and as quickly as it did. There are a lot of people saying this morning that you would imagine that part of it would be able to remain standing. Can you explain why it happened as we saw it happened?
It's a function of the type of structure that it is. So the main part of the bridge is a three-span structure with the longest span around 1,200 feet, as your previous commentator said. So, I mean, it would have been designed from an optimal perspective as a continuous structure. So the problem here is that when the pier is taken out, the entire main span or the entire three main spans are going to collapse, because if it were individual spans, then when the pier is taken out, you might lose a couple of spans. But in this case, because it's a continuous structure, it's continuous over the number of piers, that when one is lost, the entire structure falls down. And it's also important to say that as bridge engineers, when we do design for these kinds, for ship impacts, but the size of the vessel here, it seems to be so significant, and also the fact that it was a critical supporting member means that the structure had little chance here. I mean, normally in this case, around the piers, there will be protective reinforcements put in place to divert a vessel away from the pier. I don't know in this case if that was in place, but certainly it's a catastrophe.
Well, there's some speculation that it may have lost power, and that would explain why it didn't react if it hit any of those buffers that you're describing.
Yeah, and I mean, that is something which we consider. So in the design of modern bridges in major crossings, we look at the probability of a vessel of a given size losing power, impacting at different angles of attack on the pier. And we try and design the protective systems around the pier to divert the vessel away. But that doesn't seem to have happened in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And this case of a very large vessel losing power and careering then towards the pier and on this continuous kind of structure just means that the bridge had little chance.
Now, we hear about this port at Baltimore, how important it is for international shipping. Can you assess the amount of debris that would have fallen into that river as a result of the collapse and how difficult it's going to be to remove it?
Oh, I mean, there'd be a huge amount of debris there. I mean, as I said, the main span is 1,200 feet, so you'd imagine the side spans are of the order of 800 to 900 feet, given the ratios we would normally work over. So, I mean, you're talking about the order of 3,000 feet, 1,000 metres worth of material now that's fallen into the river. So it's going to be, and that's to say nothing of the piers and the cleanup effort that's going to be involved there. So there's an absolutely huge task facing the rescue services there in clearing this debris and in clearing the channel.
This is a real one-off, Alan. This is a really unusual occurrence, in your opinion.
The probability of this event is so low that if you were to try and design structures for these kinds of events, you wouldn't be able to. And because the structures would simply not be able to carry their own weight, so it's an absolutely unique event.
Now I'm joined by Julian Carter, who is a structural engineer. And Julian, this bridge was built in 1977, so it's nearly 50 years old. And we were told there by Ken Duffy, who's on the scene, that there was some construction and repair work happening when the collision occurred. How would that bridge of that age be able to withstand a collision from a container ship, a 2024 sized container ship?
It probably wouldn't. And as the previous speakers just said, we design the fenders, we design fendering systems, and we go through a set of concept planning, you know, different angles, different speeds. And I said earlier that the container ships of today are probably something like twice the size. So you imagine that what happens when that ship impacts, it hits it, it changes shape slightly, but it still has a massive amount of energy. And yes, if you have repairs being undertaken, then you're introducing weak spots. But these structures generally are so light, and they have very little of what we call redundancy. When a beyond design event happens like this, it's catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. And there'll be questions asked now in other ports and harbours around the world who have these bridges too, these lightweight bridges.
It's really difficult, because when you're doing your probabilistic analysis of saying, and I'm afraid I draw parallel with Fukushima, that had a protective wall, then somebody said, we don't believe spending extra money will reduce the risk, so we won't spend the money, and then it happened. And here, this is all about, it never happened before, hindsight bias, we call it, therefore it won't happen in the future. Well, now it has. And so people, ports and harbours will have to consider reassessing their structures and on what vulnerabilities now probably exist that they hadn't thought about.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard about the amount of debris that will be resting there in the riverbed. I mean, it's going to take a very long time to retrieve that debris, but the bridge is going to have to be completely rebuilt now. There's no question, is there, Julian, of restoring what was there?
There's no, because if you can imagine, you get a very big crane, lift it back into place, put some new bolts in. No engineer could possibly put their professional indemnity against that. There's going to be so much damage throughout the whole of the structure. It's a case of recovering the structure or leaving it in the riverbed, if that can be done, but effectively a whole new bridge, a whole new structure.
Julian, thank you very much for joining us. And we are following this story throughout the morning. Any updates from Baltimore in the United States, we'll certainly bring them to you. Coming up next, though, we'll be joined in the studio by European Commissioner Mairead McGuinness.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.